Yep, I noticed straight away Edgeware.
Right, firstly, to thank you for inviting me. Now, every now and then, in our base of Medrash in Yeshurun, somehow or other, there's a sefer that suddenly appears. And this sefer that appeared was a sefer called the Imre Yoel. Not the Divrei Yoel, because we know that was from the great Satmarov, Seichel Sadi Livrocha, but this was the Imre Yoel. So I took a look at this Imre Yoel, and the Imre Yoel, it happens to be the father of the first Rav Arashi of Israel. And the first Rav Arashi of Israel was Rav Yitzchak Herzog. His father was no other than Reb Yoel Leib Halevi Herzog from Lomja. And it seems as though he had a position in Leeds. And he came over to Leeds, that's where Rabbi Yitzchak Herzog, actually grew up in Leeds. But it also seems that he also not only had a position in Leeds, later on he also had a position of Rabbonus in Paris. And it's in Paris, it seems, that he wrote a number of droshes on all Chamishi Chumshei Torah. And it so happened that Sefer Vayikra, somehow or other, fell on my table in the Beis HaMedrash. That's Rabbi Yitzchak Herzog. I'm talking about his father.
Oh, I see, sorry.
His father. Right, thank you. And it's okay. I'm used to interruptions. Anyway, so this sefer came, and I was taking a look at these droshes. And one of these droshes happened to fall on Parshas Behar and Bechukosai. And it's a drosha, and it lit up my eyes, but it is a drosha. He says the following. The Pasuk says, which we read yesterday, V'safarta lecha sheva shabbosos shanim, sheva shanim, sheva pa'amim. You shall count for yourselves seven shabbosos of the years, 7 years, seven times. And then, Bishnas Hayovel Hazos, then there, later on it says, and in the Jubilee year, this Jubilee year, it says, Tashuvu Ish Elachuzase, then everybody, each man should return to his possession. And as we all know, when it reached Bishnas Hayovel, the Yovel year, the Jubilee year, all the property that was owned by whoever it was, of all the Shvatim and each family, everything returned to the original family when it came to the 50th year, the Jubilee year. And that's what took place. So he asked the following question, the Imre Yoel. He says, why do we have to be told this Sheva Parmim, Sheva Shanim, Sheva Parmim, 7 years, seven times, 7 years? What's the significance of that? And he also wants to know, what's the real reason behind, what's the real lesson that Bishnas HaYovel, the Jubilee year, is actually teaching us? Yes, from the point of view of Halacha, that Ezra Tzashem b'mheira v'yameinu, we should return, and there should be a Beis HaMikdash, then the Jubilee year will return for us. And the Halacha which we learnt, yesterday in Shul, will obviously apply. But what's the lesson for us? When unfortunately we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, what's the lesson that learns out? So Rabbi Herzog brings down a very interesting thing, and he bases his whole explanation on a Mishnah that we had from Pirkei Avos yesterday. And in Pirkei Avos, towards the end of Pirkei, we then have the famous thing that it says that that when a person is ben chamesh shonim, the Tanna tells us when a person is ben chamesh shonim la mikra, 5 years, then you go to learn the Torah, ben esa, la mishnah, and we go through all the various ages. So it's very interesting, and this is the point that I think he's bringing out. He's looking at the lifespan of man. And a lot of people think that the lifespan of man should be 70 years, which is the famous 70. But in actual fact, I don't know whether it's actually true. Maybe the lifespan of man is supposed to be 100 years. But what's the problem when you reach 100 years? Look what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, Ben Me'ah Ke'ilu Meis. When a person reaches 100, it's as if he's dead. Va'avo Vatel Mina Elam. And he's passed, and he's like a bottle from the world. He's nullified from the world. He's stopped like being from the world. But he's already, he is in this world, but he's 100 years old. So Rav Herzog says the following. He says, if you take these 100 years and you divide them in two, you can come to 50 years. So he asks the question, what's the difference between the first 50 years of a person's life and the second 50 years of a person's life? The first 50 years of a person's life is Yemei Aliyah, are days where you're going up. You're literally going up. It's a time when we do lots of business. It's a time when we acquire, in particular we try to acquire property. It's a time when we enjoy simcha. We really enjoy simcha. It's a time when we can really dance. It's a time when it's the work of business. It's a time to plant. It's a time to build. It's a time to get rich. That's what the first 50 years are all about. And then what happens when you reach 50? I should know, I've reached 50. A bit beyond, right? I reached, and what happens? It's unbelievable. What takes place then? Then already, though you're in the second half of the span of life. And once you've reached that second half of the span of life, already you begin to realize, what's the whole thing to getting rich? Can I build as much as I want to build? Can I do as much business as I want to build? Is Simcha the same as it used to be in the first 50 years? A time to dance, right? Is dancing the same? It's unbelievable. I don't know about you, but when I go to a Simcha now and you see the Bokharim and the way they dance, it's absolutely fantastic. And I'm not the greatest dancer, but I'll be honest, I feel a little bit left out. Can't dance with the same enthusiasm. I've got to reach it. 50. And when you usually reach 50, you've got this crank and that crank, and all the cranks begin to start. It's always that. And when I read this, I couldn't believe it. First 50 years and the second 50 years. I thought, oy vey. Right, so here we are. I'm in the second 50 years. But this second 50 years are such a time of such musa for a human being. Those first 50 years are all, as we said, at the time of growth. It's growth physically in this world, in all types of way. And if anything, a person can look at himself as in the first 50 years as if he's a yeled, he's a boy, he's a nar, he's a youth, he's in the youth of life. But when he reaches that 50, already then, it's now the second half of life. And things begin to look to take on a different way of looking at them. And what is it in those first 50 years when a person is active, is in business, he's trying to build, he's trying to acquire land for himself? What is the whole time? He's trying to take a tefisa, he's trying to grab hold. And when he's trying to grab hold, he thinks that this world is his. And not only does he think that this world is his, that he's actually a toshav. He's a resident. He's a citizen of the world. And that's what he's doing in the first 50, because it's all about taking. And it comes to the second 50, and then what happens? Then things begin to not have, it doesn't have the same strength. It's weakness that begins to take hold of a person's life. And when that weakness begins to take hold of him, and he realizes he's not actually here as a toshav, in actual fact he's here as a ger, as a stranger, that really he's not a permanent fixture in this world, then he begins to realize that maybe this in the second 50 is a time of vidui, it's a time of confession, of realizing I'm just not here as a toshav, as a permanent resident here in this world. And it's interesting, not as a bocher. When I first went to Bournemouth many years ago, before I was 50, I went to Bournemouth, and I'd just come out of the Kalel in Mir, so I was full of Bren. And I went to one of the old age homes there in Bournemouth. It was called the Hannah Levy Home. And the majority of residents who were in the Hannah Levy Home were ladies, good Yiddish ladies. And there were only one or two guys. The Yiddish ladies were all nattering away. And what were the Yiddish men doing? The few of them sat in an armchair in front of the box, a Daily Mail on their lap, and they were asleep. And I remember at the time, is this what life becomes? When you approach 100, is this really what life becomes? You end up sat in an armchair with a Daily Mail in your lap? Is this what it's all about? And then it's there. There he says it. Ben Mea. What is a Ben Mea? Kilu Meis. Va'ava u'botel min ha'olam. Can you believe such thing? And there it was, staring me in the face. Is this what life really becomes? So the Imre Yol says the following. He says, why is it that when it comes to the 50, why is it that we're told in the Torah that we're supposed to count the 7 times 7? The reason why the 7 times 7 is there is a reminder for every one of us that the key to 7 is the Shivat Yamei Bereishis, the 7 days of creation. That who is the real balabos of the world? Who is the one who is in real control of the world? Is the Rabbeinu Sha'olam, is the master of the world. And that's why he says it's repeated, the Sheva Shanim, Sheva Payamim, 7 years by 7 times. Because you have to realize that when you get to that 50th, when you get to that 50th year, when everything in the Yovel, in the Jubilee year, it goes back to its original owner. You thought you had a grasp of that piece of land, that piece of property, that piece of karka, albeit even in Eretz HaKodesh and Eretz Yisrael. But then what you're told, it's going to go back to its original owner. You don't actually have it. You thought you were a toshav with that land, and now you've got to release it. And the lesson is, after the counting of the 7 times 7, is to realize that the shivas yamei brachos is to remind you who is the real balabos, who is the real moshel ha'olam, who is the real ruler of the whole of the world, who is really the one who possesses the whole of the world, is the Rabbeinu Sha'olam. And it's at that moment in one's life, when one reaches this age of 50, when it's the halfway point of a person's life of the 100 years, it's the halfway point, at that moment, that's when my grip of what I thought was this world, and now I was a touch of in this world, my grip begins to weaken. And I come to the realization that I'm not a permanent fixture. I'm not a toshav, but I'm a ger. Really, I'm a ger, a stranger. Somebody who is not really here on a permanent basis. And that's why we have the sheva, the 7 years, the mention of the 7 years. And why we, in particular, it happens in the lesson of the Shemasa Yovel, the Jubilee year. And that's why it says these incredible words, Vaha aretz lo timakel latzmitus, which means, and the land cannot be sold perpetuity, which means that they cannot, even though I've bought the land, once it comes to the 50th year, that 50th year comes about, I can't go on selling it. I can't. I've got to stop. This was my land. I want to make a profit on it. I want to make hundreds of thousands, millions of this on this land, on this real estate. In Eretz Yisrael, you can't. It's got to go back to the original owner. And once it goes back to the original owner, what do I feel? I'm not an owner. I'm not a toshav. I'm not a resident. I'm not permanent fixture. What am I? I'm a ger. A stranger who comes into town, who owns absolutely nothing, doesn't know where to go. Doesn't really have anywhere to actually live. He's dependent on an achsanya, on a host to welcome him in. And that's what this world is. in this world, when you reach 50, you begin to realize when you reach 50, you know what, Olam Hazeh is an ager here. And where am I going to be a Toshav, the Ezras Hashem? In Olam Haba. And the splendor of Hashem's presence in Olam Haba, in the world to come. He brings down the most fantastic medrash from Koheles. I think it's a well-known medrash. Some of you are probably very familiar with it. It's interesting, when a person comes into this world, how does a baby come into this world? The fists, the hands are clenched in a fist. Says Rabbi Meir, that this is symbolic, that when a human being comes into this world, he wants to grab everything, take absolutely everything. And then, Rahman al-Islam, when a person leaves this world, then what happens? The hands are open. It's no longer a clenched fist. He leaves this world, this physical world, with nothing. No physical possessions at all. He comes into this world, I want to grab everything, I want to be a toshav in this world. I want to be a resident, this world is mine. And when he leaves this world, he's the complete heir. He has nothing, a stranger in town who has nothing, doesn't know where to go. So Rav Herzog says the following, in those first 50 years of life, I'm full of the zest of life. I'm going to do business. I'm going to acquire this. I'm not going to acquire that. I'm going to get this property. I'm going to get that property. It doesn't have to be property. It could be all different sorts of things. But I want to acquire. I want to do it in this world. I'm full of life. He reaches 50, the halfway point, begins to weaken his grip on the world. And he says, the fists become less clenched. He reaches 60, the age of Zikna. And then 70, the end, the age of Sevar, and then already the hands are beginning to open up. And by the age he reaches 100, the hands are open. He has nothing left in the world. And isn't that, it's a most striking thing. When you come to older people, it's very interesting. We were given an invitation to a golden wedding anniversary. And they said very nicely in this, we don't want anything, no presents, just please give a donation to this particular tzedakah. Which is a lovely, lovely thing to do. Why don't they want presents? Because when a person comes into his 70s and 80s, he's more or less got what he has. He has what he has. He doesn't want any more. He understands, well, here's the point. I'm going to go on acquiring more and more and more. Where's he going to get? Because a person, when he realizes he's come to that second half of his life, really, I'm not going to be a permanent fixture in this world. I'm just a ger. Now, this might sound very sobering for a Sunday morning, and a little bit over the top. But there is something that we can possess and that can take us through to the end of our days. And that's what we call the Klei Chemda. That precious, precious thing, the Klei, the vessel of Torah. Somebody who has Torah, who has that, who has the ability to learn. That means his mind is busy. He can be occupied, be oisek in the Torah. He has something. And when it comes to that latter half of his life, when he reaches 50, and he's now entered the second half, when things physically begin to weaken, and things begin to wane, but if he's got the Torah, that can be that the prime point in the whole of his life. I remember in yeshiva, when I first ever went to yeshiva, that we were there in the yeshiva in Hebron. We were there at Dvar Yishalayim, and where we learned, where the yeshiva was, it was the old yeshiva Hebron in Geula. And I remember learning with my particular chavrusa, and what happened was that there were two, I presume they were two balabatim, two chevroners, right, who obviously learnt in yeshivas of Hebron, and every evening around 5 o'clock they came into the base of Medrash and they learnt. There were two men in their 70s, and the way they learnt with such a friend, they had something. There's no reason that any Jewish man, should have to end up his life sitting in an armchair in front of a box with flicking pictures and a Daily Mail on his lap. There's no reason for that at all. Everybody has that opportunity to take learning. How do we know that everybody has the opportunity? We're coming now to the Kabbalah Soteria, to the giving of the Torah. Look what it says there. The most incredible medrash from Shmos says the following. How did the voice emulate from Har Sinai when the Torah was given? Everyone experienced it according to his capacity. The elders heard according to what they could hear. The young people heard according to what they could hear. Children and babies heard according to their ability. Women according to their ability. And even Moshe himself according to his ability. Everyone heard a voice which he could hear. Each individual discerned what he was able to discern and absorb in this revelation. Everybody got the Torah. The Torah which they could learn. That they had the capacity to learn. And the Medrash goes on. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Koil Echla Echad, Nechlak Leshiva Koilos. Rabbi Yochanan said, there was one voice that split into seven voices. Vehem Nechlokim Leshivim Loshen. And then they split into 70 languages. What's going on there? What does that mean? So Rabbi Mordechai Miller from Gateshead explains the most incredible point. From one voice, the Torah, from Hashem, and then it split into seven. And seven then goes, as we said, into the 70. What's the idea? We can't go into it because we don't have the time, all of it. But let's just look at the number seven. The number seven is the highest of the prime numbers between the numbers 1 and 10. 1 is a prime number, 2 is a prime number, a number which is only divisible by itself, 3 is a prime number, 4 already is not a prime number, because you've got 2 times 2 is 4, there are factors involved. 5 is a prime number, 6 is not a prime number. We come to 7, it's also a prime number. Once you come to 8, it's already, it's got factors, 8 has got factors, 4 times 2. 9, 3 times 3. 7 is the highest. The 7 depicts the highest degree of one's individuality. And the Torah was given to every one of us as an individual, that we can make our mark upon the world through the Torah, because it's the 7. We can express our individuality through the Torah. And that's what the Medrash that we quoted says. That the Torah was given so that everybody could hear it. Everybody will have the capacity to hear it. All you have to do is just open your mind and you're able to get it. And what an investment, gentlemen. What an incredible investment. If you make that investment in the first half of your life, then when it comes to the second half of our lives, when it comes to those last 50 years, when our grip upon this world is beginning to relinquish, we can't grab it anymore, we've got something there. It's an investment for the future. The life will still be buzzing. Life is full of zest. It's incredible, isn't it? You see Rosh Yeshiva. You see Talmidei Chachamim. You see Rabbonim, and they're in their 70s, and they're full, if Baruch Hashem, they've got their health, they're full of zest, they're in the prime of their life. They're full of vigor, they're full of strength. And why? Can only be because of one reason, because they have that investment they've made in Torah. And that's available for all of us. It's interesting, when you look at the spread of the 100 years, and you look at the 50, what does it say about a Ben Chamishim, somebody who is 50 years old? Ben Chamishim La Eitza. A 50 is a person who can give Eitza. Eitza, so he can give advice. Why can he give at the age of 50? because he's reached that halfway point in his life. He's had the experience of Olam Hazeh, all the physical, the material of this world, and now he's now coming to the second half of his life. So it are based on all his experience of what he's had, he can now advise. He can now advise people what to choose and what not to choose. But can you imagine, gentlemen, if this person who is 50 years old has got the Klei Chemda, has got the Torah, the vessel of the Torah itself, how much greater his Eitza, how great his advice can be to every one of us. Be able to choose which way, that way, because he's got the Chochmas HaTorah, the wisdom of the Torah. I saw a posuk in Kuf Yud Tes. Yeah, we try to say the Tehillim every day. Listen to this posuk, and it just struck me. Lulei Terasecha Shashuai Az Avadati Ba'Onyi, which means, if not for your Torah, Shashuai, which is my delight. It's my preoccupation, they like to translate. But Shashua, I think it means it's my delight. If not your Torah, which is my delight, Azavadati Be'onyi, then I would be totally lost in my affliction. If not for your delight, my delight, which is your Torah, and we can apply it to the second half of the lifespan of man in the second 50 years... If not for that, if I've not made that investment in the first 50 years, and it comes to the second, and it comes to the second 50, if the Torah is not my delight, then what can I? I'm lost. I'm lost in my affliction because I thought the world, this world, was it. I thought I was the toshav, the real resident of this world. It was mine to grab. My fists were clenched to grab everything, and now I reach 50. I'm beginning to release it. And what do I have? But if I have the delight of the Torah, then even in the time of affliction, if things begin to weaken in the second 50, I have the delight of the Torah. That's something special. May all of us be Zecha this week, and when we prepare for Kabbalah Satera, for the giving of the Torah, we should all be ready for that great celebration of Shavuos, and we can make yet another tefisa, another hold on the Torah. That's where the tefisa of man should be, with his hands. Not necessarily just the physical, the material. Yes, we need the physical material to live. Yes, we do. But to make that the be-all and end-all of life, that I feel afflicted in the second 50 years of my life, that's not the answer. The answer is to use one's hands to make the tefisa, the grabbing nature of man, to grab the Torah any opportunity. And if we grab the Torah in this time of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, and the Ezras Hashem, we should live, all of us, to 100 and beyond, experience b'mheirav yameiru in our days the coming of Mashiach and the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and we will have the Klei Chemda forever. Amen. 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 Thank you.